It is again good to be in the house of God, to be among the family of God, to worship and adore Him. We have been singing songs of praises in honor to Him. And as we continue our worship aspect of study, we truly appreciate the prayers that continue to go up. They are indeed encouragement to us, and we continue to be guided by God as we strive to study and to share His word. We're happy to have Brother Blake with us, though we won't hug him. We'll keep our distance and thing, but we are really happy to have him in our midst, and we are glad to be here. We will continue our study of the topic that we have been on for the last couple of weeks, that male factor crucified. That male factor crucified. So we could, refer to this as a part three of the lesson. We could also contextualize the lesson as the male factor crucified wrong lesson. Or we could call the lesson, can we be saved like that thief on the cross? Can we be saved like that male factor without being baptized? The week before, as we looked at the male factor crucified, we realized that there were several male factors. There are two male factors beside Jesus Christ at the crucifixion. And we made it a point of note that we should not get carried away recognizing that there were thieves on the cross, because we are all in our own rights male factors. And while we were not to the left or right of Jesus Christ, there were many other characters leading up to the cross and at the cross that we are well fitted to say that we were at the cross. Jesus Christ died for you and for me. So we do not want to be self-righteous and say, I'm not a thief, and so I am good. We are in our own rights Barsabbases. We are Pilates. We are Herods. We are like the soldiers at the cross. There were many characters at the cross, and we looked at some lessons, though, that we could have learned from the male factors on the cross. We looked at the fact that as we strive to please God, as we do our sojourn through life, it is important not to follow the crowd. Two, that it is important that we do not dare Christ, as we saw on the cross. It is important that we recognize that beyond our physical needs, there is a spiritual need, and that those needs are paramount to us. We also learned, four, that it is important that as we strive to please the Almighty God, that we are not insincere, because God sees through us at all times. Let us never fool ourselves. We also, five, recognize that as we strive to please God, it is important that we are ready to rebuke wrong. It is important, six, that we fear God, and that we always, seven, understand our current state. Eight, that we look to Jesus Christ always And beautifully, we saw as lessons from the cross that we have the ears of Jesus Christ. And when we go to Christ, when we go to the Almighty God, we can invoke him. We can get Christ to speak to us if we but seek him. And the tenth lesson that we have looked at is that we can invoke, we can solicit, we can invoke the power of Jesus Christ to save. And so when we looked at the male factors, we got all of these lessons coming out to us. And I'm sure with deeper look, there are many more lessons that we can learn from the male factors crucified. But like so many situations, as we are exposed to knowledge and truth and realities, many times we get the wrong lesson. You know, as we study God's word, it comes out to us loudly, profoundly, that Jesus Christ and God loves us. It comes out to us forcefully that God is a God of mercy and grace. But it is important that as we get these lessons, that we do not get the wrong message. Because so many persons see the love, the mercy, and the grace of God, and then they get the lesson, there can be no hell. Wrong lesson. Even in our social experience, because of what we would have probably seen and were exposed to in our lives, sometimes we get the wrong lesson. We may have seen the abuse of alcohol. And because we have seen what this can do, then we go farther than where God has gone. And so we come out with the lesson and the message, to drink is a sin. When really the message is that drunkenness is sin. So we can in situations get the wrong message from truths that we are exposed to. For so many of us, we have seen the abuse of amen. We have seen the abuse of hallelujah, praise God. And so we get the wrong message that if we hear truth and we respond affirmatively, amen, which means that is true, I agree, I concur. And if we say this in rationality, it is quite in order and expected by Almighty God. But because we have seen the abuse of it, then we have now gotten the wrong message sometimes. And so we fail to say amen when truth is echoed. We could go on and on. You know, let the woman remain silent in the church, says Scripture. We could go on. The man is the head of the woman. And if we are not careful, we get the wrong message that women are inferior to men. Wrong message. And so we want to guard ourselves. We need to protect and make sure that as we study God's word, that we don't get the wrong message. David played all kinds of instruments, the harp. And so a person looks at that and without being conscious of the dispensation and where David lived versus where we live in terms of we are under the dispensation of Christ, then we get the wrong message and think that as we worship God, as we honor him in singing, then we must also accompany it with harps and timbrel and the piano and the guitar. Wrong message. And then even for us, we have to again be careful, because recognizing the abuse that is out there, sometimes we go to the other extreme. And so when we are entertaining ourselves, you know, we would want to sometimes say that if I love classical instrumental, then something is wrong with that. Or that I won't go and learn to play an instrument like how Chad has. Because we tell ourselves that instruments are wrong. Wrong message. And so we often get the wrong message. Can I jump back into our social sphere? How many battered and abused women, if you should talk to them and interview them, the counselors and the psychologists will tell you over and over that they take the abuse because somehow in their psyche, because of what they would have been exposed to, they said, "Him beat me because him loved me." And so we get the wrong message because of what we are exposed to, because of what we really want to do. And having drawn on all of these, I'm really just coming back to the fact that having looked over these many weeks, these couple of weeks, and the many messages that we have been exposed to that we can get from these male factors at the cross, of all the messages, when you encounter persons and you say the crucifixion, and you talk about the thief on the cross, the message that they get is that, like the thief on the cross, I don't need to be baptized in order to be saved. And so the message today is that's the wrong lesson. And we want to spend the rest of our time here this morning just exploring why is that the wrong message. And let me just throw this out, you know, because we can have a discussion on that differently. I am not even 100% sure that the thief on the cross was never baptized. Right? I'll just leave that there. You can question that. But here it is, that we recognize a message and a lesson from the male factor crucified, that we can invoke the power of Jesus Christ to save. And guess what? Jesus Christ still has that power and that authority today. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, we are told that Christ has all authority. All power is given That's what he said in Matthew 28. If you have it, read it for me quickly. All power.
And Jesus came and spake unto them,
saying, came unto them and he said,
All power is given unto me.
Is given unto me.
In heaven,
in heaven and on earth.
In earth. Go ye therefore. And teach.
And teach.
All nations.
All nations.
Baptizing them.
Baptizing them.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ has indicated and has owned the truth that he has all power in heaven and in earth. He has not relinquished this power. But you know what? He has entrusted this in earthen vessels. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 following, go to it quickly for me. He has indicated that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, has been entrusted in flesh. In us who are made of dust, who have our being and our genesis from the dust, the earth, that he has entrusted this true treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels, in human beings. Yes, he has. Are you there? Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4.
But we have this treasure in earthen
vessels. We have vessels. This treasure in earthen vessels.
That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Read.
We are troubled on every side.
Okay, you can pause there for a second. The gospel is really a treasure. Because the gospel tells us some truth concerning Jesus Christ. That he came to earth, that he lived, he died, he's resurrected, ascended, and has gone to prepare a place for us. You know, that is treasure. Because we, in our state, we are really nothing, can do nothing to save ourselves. And this truth is not going to be spread by angels whispering things in people's ears. This truth is not going to be spread by the Holy Ghost floating and appearing like fire and revealing things to us. No. This truth of the gospel depends on you and me, Christians, because it is up to us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, in verse 5 and 6 of the same chapter, you know, the Apostle Paul writing says that for this reason we preach Jesus Christ, because he is indeed the power to save. But can I pause a little and just talk to us as Christians? Because sometimes we do not get involved, a lot of times. We don't get involved in sharing the treasure. We don't get involved in evangelizing, telling persons what we have been exposed to and the hope that we now have because we were exposed to the gospel. Yeah. A lot of times we don't. And in a lot of cases, it's because we lack confidence. It's because we realize that we're not perfect. Yes, can I tell you that I'm standing up here and I'm not perfect? Yeah. For many of us, we see our shortcomings, and that hinders us from being evangelistic, for sharing, because it's almost like, boy, how can I be going and saying this? And I'm not perfect, but we are all work in progress. Yeah. And as we share the gospel, we can put the disclaimer. Because we need not be going and sharing the gospel like, hey, I'm this perfect dude. I'm all of that. I'm perfect. I left that for that lesson. We can and should in humility share the gospel. You know, you're still at Corinthians? Help me preach. Because for many of us, we are troubled. Christians are talking. We say more. For many of us, we are perplexed. For many of us, there are things happening in our lives. And we can truly say that we are persecuted. Things happen in our lives. And we are really cast down. But it is the same troubled, perplexed, persecuted, and cast down persons that Jesus Christ is referring to as earthen vessels. And it is to us that the entrusting of this treasure rests. And I want to encourage us that though we are troubled, we are not distressed. That's what the passage says. Though we are perplexed, yet not in despair. I should be getting some more amens. Though persecuted, brethren, we have the assurance from the Almighty God that we are not forsaken. Though cast down, brethren, God will never cause us to be destroyed. We, as imperfect as we are, God has entrusted us with the treasure of the gospel. We have, because we are earthen vessels, we are the ones to echo the truth of the gospel. And so I want to leave this lesson. Yes, another lesson. And you're saying, but Brother Webb, I thought you're talking about the wrong lesson. Well, this is on purpose. Because as Christians, I want us to remember and be encouraged that we are given a special responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth is, where I really want to get to is that while Jesus Christ was on earth, he had the power to save in whichever and however way he wanted to. And he did. And so this thief on the cross could have been assured of a place, a happy place in the Hadean world, a place in paradise, a place of safety, because Christ, before his death, burial, and resurrection, could just save the way he wanted to, whenever he wanted to. However, we want to explore in the next few minutes examples of persons being saved. Yes, we are exposed to the malefactor crucified, and that Jesus Christ invoked his saving power and he saved him. But we want to make a demarcation. We want to make a separation across the dispensation of Christ. We want to look at how Jesus Christ and heaven saved persons before the cross. while Jesus Christ was on earth before his resurrection. And we read earlier Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. And here we see, and we saw in the reading, that Jesus Christ came upon a sick person. A person sick of the palsy. What is palsy? Well, this person had some type of paralysis. They couldn't move. You know, we can relate to persons who are paralyzed and have palsy type things. You know, they shake and they can't move freely. So here, if you are there, we'll just read it quickly because I want to improve on the time thing. I got some lessons last week, you know, and I want to learn. I don't want to get the wrong lesson. So I want to wrap up in good time. You are there, Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 to 6.
And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city.
Yes, read.
And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy.
So they brought to him a man sick of the palsy.
Lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick.
All right, so on the faith, not even so much the faith of the man sick, but those who carried him. Jesus Christ, look at the sick man. Crippled man. Paralyzed man. After being in bed. That's how sick, you know. And there's something interesting. Here it is. And sometimes, and when our friends make requests of us and the church to pray for them because, boy, they're in accident and they're in hospital, we are sympathetic and our heart goes out. But I want us to pay close attention to what happened when Jesus was encountered with this man sick, real sick. Jesus Christ just said, get better. That's what happened? That's not what happened, you know? Here Jesus is presented with this sick man. This man sick and in bed. And on the faith of the people, Jesus Christ look at the man and say what?
Son, be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer. I want to cheer you up. I want to make you truly happy. So therefore, be healed. That's what he said.
Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee.
Your sins be forgiven thee. What are you saying at this juncture, Brother Webb? Even when we are sick, no matter what we are going through in this life, our greatest need is to have our sins forgiven. And so we are always happy to pray for those who are sick and in distress. My heart went out to that toddler who was ravished by those dogs. Heart went out. I would have had stories and seen this type of thing with many others. But even in a dilemma like that, if we are not in Christ, there is a greater need than physical healing. There's need for spiritual healing. And so Jesus Christ tapped in and he said, as sick as you are, and what you think you may need as healing, I'm going to truly make you of good cheer. I'm going to truly make you blessed and happy. And he said, thy sins are forgiven thee. And then the story goes on because, you know, they got into a whole lot of things, you know. And Jesus Christ says, it is just as easy for me to say, be healed, as it is to say your sins are forgiven. That's how powerful our God is. We have a Savior who can invoke his power to heal us both physically and spiritually. And so we see that Jesus Christ has the power to save, and that before the cross, he invoked it at will. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 47 following, we see again that Jesus Christ approached a sick, or that he, well, a spiritually sick. And what did he say? Verse 47. Define it quickly and read for me.
Wherefore I say unto thee,
yes,
her sins, which are many.
So here it is that this woman came and she washed Christ's feet with her hair. And what he says, continue.
Her sins, which are many.
Her sins that are many.
Are forgiven.
Are forgiven her.
For she.
Do we want to get the wrong message? Are we saying, ladies, that if you want to have your sins forgiven, you just come and you just wash somebody's feet with your hair? Is that the message? In the dispensation of Jesus Christ while he was here on earth, it's different from after his resurrection. He could have just said, your sins are forgiven you. That's before the cross. Can I tell you, brethren, that because he has entrusted the gospel in earthen vessels, then after the cross, it's a different story. We want to explore over the next few minutes some cases where Jesus Christ, having entrusted the gospel to earthen vessel, and as these persons shared the gospel, that specific things had to be done in order for them to be saved. There was nobody who was saved having not heard, believed, repented, confessed, and were baptized. So there is no need for us after the cross to wonder, can I be saved like the thief on the cross? Can I be saved like that malefactor or crucified? Can we take our journey first of all to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost? What a wonderful day. At a significant day. There were many Pentecosts before this Pentecost. Because Pentecost means 50th. And so after every seventh Sabbath, seven sevens, 49. Then on the first day of the week, a day after the Sabbath, we always had a Pentecost. And God chose this day when he made the promise and the declaration to Peter. You know, when he said, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. He was referring to this day. When Peter, an earthen vessel, when Peter was going to be given the keys, the treasure, the gospel. And here we now find in Acts chapter 2 that Peter is going to use that key as an earthen vessel. He was going to let loose that treasure. That same treasure that we have, because today we as earthen vessels too have the power to unlock the gospel, to share it, use that key. But here on the start of the church, on the day of Pentecost, round about 33 AD, that we have Peter, and he spoke. You know, read verse 36 for me.
Therefore,
of Acts chapter 2.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel.
Let all the house of Israel.
Know assuredly. That God hath made. That same Jesus. Whom ye have crucified. Both Lord and Christ.
That was a part of the gospel. That was him almost concluding the sharing of that treasure. And if we step back a little, then in verse 16 it says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In verse 22, Peter stood up and he said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Then he says, Jesus of Nazareth. So he started to tell them about the gospel, the treasure. And then he continued and he says in verse 23, him, referring to Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And we have covered that. That includes us. Yes. Verse 31, he says, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's part of the gospel, the treasure. Because it is important that as we share the good news of Jesus Christ, that we do not leave Christ as a dead Christ. For Jesus Christ is a risen Savior. He's no longer dead, but he is resurrected. Verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are his witnesses. Witnesses? Yeah, us earthen vessels. Therefore, verse 33, being by the right hand of God, is exalted. You know what that speaks to? When Jesus Christ was resurrected, he didn't stay on earth, you know. Got busy. He's ascended. And by the assurance given, he's gone to prepare a place for us. So now you are back at verse 36. Read for me again. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Who was saying this? Some of us still have the paper Bible. Yeah, I see some, yes. And even those who have the electronic Bible scrolling through. One of the things that we have come to know, you know, by some of the persons who have, you know, made the writings so available and convenient to read, is that when Jesus Christ is speaking, a lot of these Bibles have it in red. We have noticed that? Yeah, man. All of what we were making reference to, including verse 36, let me see the hands of those who see that in red in their Bible. Not in red. So it wasn't Jesus who was saying and sharing the gospel. It was Peter, an earthen vessel. An earthen vessel like us. So, even at the start of the church, one would say, boy, this is when the church will launch. You know? This is the start the inauguration of the church. And even in this, Jesus Christ did not come and teach and share the gospel. Why? He has entrusted it in earthen vessels. That's what he has done. Can you read verse 14 for me? Still at Acts chapter 2. So I don't want you to miss it. I think I've made the point, but I don't want it to slide.
But Peter.
Stop. But Peter. This is the start of the church. The first gospel message is going to be preached. Jesus did not speak. An angel did not speak. The Holy Spirit did not speak directly. It says what?
But Peter,
standing up
with the eleven,
earthen vessels among earthen vessels, stood up and lifted up his voice
and said unto them,
and started to share the gospel, share the treasure. It has been entrusted in earthen vessel, not in angels, not with the Holy Spirit, not even God himself on the start of the church. Christ at the start of the church did not preach the gospel. It was entrusted in earthen vessel. Can I jump to another case quickly? Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. We have here a man traveled far to worship God. He was reading about Jesus Christ, but never understood what he was reading and what it was about. And you know what happened? Read verse 35.
Then Philip,
earthen vessel, opened his mouth
and began at the same scripture. And preached unto him.
Jesus. The preaching of the gospel and how to be saved is entrusted in earthen vessel. You know why I like this case? In this situation, verse 26, see what I see. In this scenario, we had angels present. Read it. You at verse 26? Read it fast.
And the angel spake unto Philip, saying,
here it is, that somebody needed the gospel, that somebody needed to know how to be saved, needed the truth of the gospel, including how to be saved. And instead of the angel going to the prospective convert, the person who needed to be saved, and saying to him, you need to believe on Jesus Christ, know that he died, he was buried and was resurrected. You know what he did? The angel directed an earthen vessel to the prospect. In order for us, or in order for somebody to be saved, they need to be exposed to the gospel, which includes being baptized. You finished reading verse 14? Verse 14 was finished?
No, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John.
All right, okay, all right, stop there. Let's not go into that. Well, here's what I want us to realize. Angel was present, but the angel did not preach the gospel, did not share the treasure. I tell you, the Holy Spirit was present. Verse 29.
Then the Spirit said unto Philip.
Then the Spirit
said unto Philip.
Said to Philip. What did he say?
Go near.
Go near.
And join thyself.
All right, so, you know, we can get into some discussion. Is the Spirit the angel and the angel? But what is my point? Here are heavenly beings in the scenario. But because the gospel is entrusted in earthen vessel, Philip, the earthen vessel, was directed to the prospect. While Jesus was on earth, he does say, forgive your sins. But in every situation that we see persons being forgiven of their sins, we saw it in Acts. You know, we probably stopped short a little because Peter went on to say, you know, repent and be baptized. And here we see with the eunuch, the nobleman wanting to be saved, that Philip would have taught him the gospel. And when he said, see, here is water, what does hinder me to be baptized? You know what? Philip baptized him. In order for us to receive salvation, we must be baptized because we are on this side of the cross. Time has run out on me. You know, I was really excited about sharing Paul and his conversion. You know, I was really excited about getting to that, about time. So I'm going to wrap up right here. But the message is, there are many lessons from the malefactor crucified. To look at all of those lessons and draw from it that I can be saved without being baptized is the wrong message, the wrong lesson. Because all of us today have to be obedient to the gospel. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. We want to invite the song leader to come with a song of encouragement. What's the number, brother? 557, 557. Let us be standing as we sing.
The blessed Savior calling thee oppressed, all the ever laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tiring, I your load will give. Bring me every burden and bring me every care. Why don't you come unto me? Trust my might. Come and trust my might. For my yoke is easy and my burden.
Before we continue, the responsibility has been done by Brother Fabian Webb. As earthen, as the earthen vessel. For those who are in our midst, it's now your responsibility to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we invite you to come before it is everlastingly too late. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Come to Jesus before it is too late. Are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus and he will. Why don't you come? Come, come unto me. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. My yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. For I am meek and lowly. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come and trust my might. For my yoke is easy and my burden. Have you by temptation often conquered been, as a sense of broad distress within? If you claim his blessed, if the Holy Spirit, yes, he will give. Why don't you come? Come. Come unto me. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon. Hear me and be blessed. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. I am meek and lowly. Come, come, come and trust my might. For my yoke is easy and my burden. Amen. The song has ended, but the invitation is still open. So if you feel a need to give your lives to the Almighty God,